And worship has been good. And we sing those songs as if we meant them. Yeah. Okay? When we sing them, we mean them. We believe our God is impossible, is unstoppable, and that he is sometimes impossible too. But we believe that our God is unstoppable and that we will see impossible things happen. We mean it when we sing it. We believe, like we sang in the first praise set, that God's love goes on forever. We truly do believe that. Until the sun stops to shine and our world turns dark and something's pushing on us and we begin to hurt and we begin to think maybe God's love does stop. And maybe those impossible things aren't going to happen to me. It happens, doesn't it? And it could be that that's exactly where the Apostle Paul found himself in the passage of Scripture that was read to you this morning. See, over the past several weeks, we've looked at this situation, okay? And things are, in essence, going from bad to worse for the Apostle Paul. And when that happens, it is our nature to wonder why. Has God stopped loving me? Okay, what's he trying to tell me? Am I unworthy? When things begin to go from bad to worse, our faith is tested. And in truth, we sometimes wonder. Well, in these chapters that we have been studying in the book of Acts, for the apostle, things had gone from bad to worse. I mean, last week, they drug him out of the temple with the intention of killing him. They were going to throw stones at him until they killed him. And they were doing it because they claimed he had defiled the temple, which he had not done. Good Jews, mind you. Devout men. At that moment, in the passage that was read to us today, were throwing off their coats so they were better able to sling the stones. They were throwing dust into the air like dogs do to frighten their enemies. It was a bad scene, folks. So bad that the commander of the Roman soldiers who was watching it, those who were in charge of keeping the peace, arrested Paul for his own protection. They pulled him into the barracks. But frankly, the commander of the soldiers had it. I mean, this was the third time that he had dragged Paul into the barracks for Paul's protection from the Jews. He needed to get to the bottom of this thing. He needed to know why good religious people were acting like they were. What had Paul done to make them all go crazy? So he ordered the soldiers to prepare Paul for interrogation. They were to flog him, beat him, to make him ready to talk. So they stripped him and they stretched him out on the rack, intending to beat him. If you were Paul, it was one of those moments in life when the sun had gone from the sky and everything was as black as it could be, and you had to be wondering what God was up to. Had he stopped loving you? Things had gone from bad to worse. It was then that Paul stretched out, ready to be beaten, asked the centurion who was in charge of the beating if it was legal to beat a Roman soldier or a Roman citizen without first giving him a trial. Of course it was not. And when the soldiers learned that Paul was a Roman citizen, born a Roman citizen, mind you, they did not beat him. They just locked him up until they decided what they were going to do with him. Not charged, just in jail. How fair is that? But still, the commander needed to get to the bottom of this thing. He needed to know what it was that Paul had done and why the Jews hated him so. So the next day, he called a meeting, to which he ordered the high priest himself to come with the entire Sanhedrin, Israel's highest court. He ordered them to appear before him. And when they were there, he brought Paul in before them and allowed Paul to address them. "My brothers," Paul said, "all I'm doing is what God has asked me to do." And then Israel's high priest ordered the members of the Sanhedrin who were standing near him to go over and smack Paul in the mouth. Now listen to me right now, every one of you. If you consider yourself to be a religious person, particularly if you consider yourself to be devoted to Jesus Christ, and you order someone to punch someone else in the mouth, you are wrong. Such behavior comes from Satan, the father of lies. No excuse, Ryan. It is not of God. Folks, when you're feeling like that, just take a deep breath, please, and step back before you do such a thing. It is not of God, and you all know it right now while you're sitting here in church under the word of the Lord. Now, Paul looked the high priest in the eye, and he said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall." See, look, here's the deal. Things had gone from bad to worse. Tempers were out of control. And even the Apostle Paul was human. He too was enraged by the stuff that was going on. Just so you understand, he was having a bad moment. Which has, of course, occurred to none of you. Fact is, it happens to the best of us. But no matter how devoted to Jesus Christ we are, to give in to our temper in such a moment is still not of God. Someone said to Paul, "How dare you speak insultingly like that to the high priest of Israel?" And Paul instantly realized that his behavior was wrong. "It is written," he said. See, the Holy Spirit called him under the word of God. "It is written," he said, "do not speak evil about the ruler of your people." For the record, you'll find those words in Exodus 23, 28. And if you are a Christian, you need to add to it Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It was the scripture which called Paul back and restored him to his proper frame of mind. The scripture guided him and ruled him. And that's how it should be for each one of us. When things are gone from bad to worse and blackness invades our world, when tempers flare and even religious people have gone berserk, which they occasionally do, the scripture remains our guide and calls us back to our senses. It was then that Paul, I gotta say, I don't applaud the Apostle Paul in this moment, but I understand full well what he was doing. It was then that Paul used a subterfuge to turn the tables on his accusers. Now, personally, I have never done such a thing. Okay, at least God doesn't remember it, although you might. See, when he forgives sin, it goes away forever. Not so sometimes with us, is it? Mm-hmm. Okay, see, look. There was this ancient controversy between the religious parties that made up the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Paul was well versed in the argument because he was of the party of the Pharisees. He said to the group, "It's because I'm a Pharisee that those Sadducees are out to get me." Now, I just want to make it clear to you that everybody was out to get him, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Okay, this was a subterfuge. It was a way for him to divert the attention away from himself onto something else. He said what he said because he was a Pharisee and that he knew maybe, possibly, he could get his buddies, the Pharisees, to agree with him. And it worked. The Pharisees in the Sanhedrin rose to Paul's offense. And the two sides began to argue the ancient controversy. They turned their anger on each other. And the commander of the Roman soldiers stood there going, here they were again. The religious leaders of the nation of Israel, ready to duke it out with each other over the question of the resurrection of the dead, the existence of angels and evil spirits. He grabbed Paul, took him back into custody to protect him from the anger which was evidenced between the two parties of the Jews. I want to sing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. What wonderful people they were. I can only imagine how all of the soldiers watching were motivated to become Jews. But think about it. We must be totally dedicated to following God's word because the world outside these walls is watching us. Amen. So at the end of the day, Paul was back in jail. The leaders of Israel were still looking for an excuse to kill him. Things were going from dark to darker, from bad to worse. But the night after all this happened, as he was still laying there, probably on the floor of the jail cell, God whispered in Paul's ear, "Take courage," God said. "It's not over. I'm sending you to Rome." Now, folks, hear me. God is not through with us yet. Though it gets darker and darker, though it moves from bad to worse, though we are tempted sometimes to disbelieve what we sing with such conviction on Sunday morning, take courage. God is not through with us yet. Out of it all, through the darkness and the pain and the trouble, he will be our guide. He remains our lighthouse. Out of it all, he will bring us good, for he is forever faithful.